Well, thank you so much for taking the time to watch and listen. Whether you're watching or listening to this in the morning or at night or in the afternoon, thank you so much for taking the time to do that. We recognize you could be doing other things, and for you to do that means a lot to us. So we hope that today inspires you in your relationship with Jesus. And so we're in this series, True or Just Trending. We're wrapping this up, and we're looking at our church's core values. We see that our culture values some things, and our church values some different things. In our very first week, we looked that our church values gospel clarity, that we want to be super clear about the good news of Jesus. We realize and we believe that through Jesus' death, he secures our forgiveness, and through his resurrection, he secures our future. And in the here and now, he gives us the power to live. The second week, we looked at biblical authority, how the authority of Jesus and the authority of the Bible are one and the same, because Jesus is described as the Word. And then we also talked about faithful tenacity, that our church values being able to risk things for God, that too often we settle for predictable mediocrity, and yet we ought to be pursuing unpredictable miracles. And then last week we looked at generous mentality, that we value that as a church. And then today we're going to be looking at intentional community. I love the quiet in the morning. So typically, I'm an early riser. I'm the first one out of the house. I'm the first one that's awake at the house. And that time I'm able to spend reading, I'm able to pray. And it's about 15 to maybe 20 minutes that I have. I mean, it's completely quiet. And in those 15 to 20 minutes, they're really important to me because that's where I get centered, I get humbled, and I get filled. But over time, in a weird way, here's what I've learned. Here's what I've realized. That God's not trying to keep me there. See, the time with him is preparing me for people, for challenges, and for opportunities throughout the day. Like, I'm at my best with people when I've been with Jesus first. And if I skip that, I end up reacting instead of responding. When I'm with him, I can bring grace into a situation instead of irritation, patience instead of pride. And so my hope that this is sort of the thing we kind of lean into today, our personal time with God isn't the opposite of community. It's preparation for it. That private space is where our roots grow deep so that when we're around people, our fruit shows up. But here's what I've noticed, that not everyone experiences that rhythm. Like some of us, we love the solitude and we fear the crowd. Others of us, we love the crowd and we fear the solitude. We neglect it. Either way, we end up off balance. Like it's true that we're more connected than ever, but we're less known than ever. There are times that all of us, we struggle with being lonely, but we resist wanting to be known. Like we crave connection, but we curate control. Dr. Sherry Turkle, an MIT professor and author of Reclaiming Conversation, writes this, quote, "We're lonely, but we're afraid of intimacy. Digital connection gives the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship," end quote. And in fact, just a couple of years ago, the CDC reported that about 1 in 2 Americans say that sometimes or always they feel alone. That even prompted the U.S. Surgeon General to declare loneliness a public health epidemic. So he equated chronic isolation to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Yet we have more friends, more followers, more connections than any generation in history. And it's like we built this massive living room called social media, and we only invite people in when the house is spotless. We have followers. We have connections. We're known more for our opinions, not our presence. And I believe it's slowly killing our souls. Like if you do you worked, we would all be happier, right? We'd all be healthier, we'd be more connected than ever, but we're not. The reason why I'm no longer on social media is because people who I knew personally, they were lying in their posts about their lives. And not to sound harsh, but they were just full of it. And it's just like, man, what are we trying to communicate? What are we doing here, people? What are we communicating? And it just seemed like this is not reality. This is not real life. Sometimes we join a group and then we ghost when it gets uncomfortable. Maybe we joined a small group thinking, hey, we're going to have a great conversation. I hear there's great food. And yet week three, someone starts crying during prayer and you're like, okay, I'm a podcast person now. Truth is that real community gets awkward before it gets authentic. Belonging costs something for all of us. It costs our comfort. It costs control and it costs time. Sometimes we treat church community like a group chat. We mute the notifications when life gets noisy. And then when it stops being noisy, we scroll back later to catch up. And so we end up surrounded by people, but we're starving for belonging. The thing I've learned over the last couple of decades being in small groups is that community is like sandpaper. It smooths you out, but it's very uncomfortable while it's happening. For some of us, we say that we're too busy for community. And yet we will binge 6 episodes of the new show without feeling guilty when Netflix asks us, remember that thing pops up, are you still watching? And we click yes. 61% of people say they don't have time for community involvement, yet the average person spends nearly 3 hours a day consuming a streaming service. It's not that we're too busy for community. Perhaps it's that we've forgotten how much we need it. Maybe for you, you love the idea of belonging until belonging requires showing up. We live in what psychologists call a low-commitment culture. We subscribe monthly, not annually. We date casually, not purposely. Even our friendships are treated as on-demand. And maybe that prompted James Emery White, a pastor in North Carolina, to say this, quote, we want relationships that stream on our schedule, not ones that interrupt it, end quote. See, belonging isn't an app that we download. It's a table that we show up to. And somewhere along the way, we've traded connection for convenience, presence for performance, and family for followers. But Jesus is offering us something so much bigger and so much deeper. In fact, it's an intentional community that shapes us, that grows us, and eventually sends us out. And guys, we do isolation even when we know that being together actually makes us stronger, makes us braver, and makes us more faithful. But we're not the only ones to struggle with this. Thomas, one of Jesus' hand-picked disciples, faced a similar struggle. After Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas was nowhere to be found. And we're not really sure why. We can take some educated guesses as to why, but we're going to see what happens when he missed out on community and when he comes back into community. So we're going to be looking in John 20. And so John is writing this biography of Jesus, and he saw this go down firsthand, and so he's letting us know what is going on. And so Jesus died on a Friday, and then Passover happened as they celebrated on Saturday, and then early Sunday morning, the women go to finish the burial process. The tomb is empty. And notice what happens. On the evening of that day, the day when they saw the tomb empty, the first day of the week, Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. All right, so they were afraid of what was going to happen, that they were followers of Jesus. If they kill Jesus, they may kill us. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus shows up without breaking the lock. He just shows up and he meets them where they are, showing, hey guys, I'm alive. Everything went according to plan. Your sins are forgiven through my death. And man, now you have life because I am risen from the dead. So Jesus shows off his hands, his side. It's tangible proof. Here's what's really cool about that. Truth is visible in community. Like, community is a place where we experience truth and we experience reassurance. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. He again reiterates this peace. It's more than an inner calmness. It's peace with God, peace with one another, and a courage to act. Jesus' peace says in so many words, you are safe, you are forgiven, and now you are being sent to make a difference. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so for those who might have been around the block a while following Jesus, we might be thinking, well, what about in Acts 2, maybe about 40 to 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit comes and they're speaking in languages they never learned before, and people who hear their own language come to know Christ, 3,000 people become followers of Jesus. It's an incredible story. What about that? Well, maybe think of John 20, like this moment here, like preseason football for rookies. It's real, it matters, and it's where players get real, like they get a taste of the real thing. Jesus is preparing his disciples, giving them a taste of what's coming, peace, purpose, and presence. So at Pentecost in Acts 2, it's like the regular season kickoff. It is the full empowerment. The game is starting, same team, same spirit, but just a different moment. He says this, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So what Jesus is doing, he's giving the community authority to love, to correct, and to restore each other. Now, whether you've been following Jesus for years or maybe you're investigating this thing, the principle is the same. Faith grows and becomes stronger in community, not isolation. When we're isolating ourselves, we're going to have a hard time growing in our faith and growing in our relationships. So a little while later, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Now, we don't know why Thomas was missing, but we can make some educated guesses. Most likely, he was isolating himself because of grief. Maybe because of fear. Maybe because of doubt. And he spent 3 years of his life with these guys and with these people. And he's telling them, listen, I hear you, but I don't trust what you're saying to me. I need hard evidence. I need to see it to believe it. And the thing I can appreciate is that his doubt is honest. But his doubt keeps him from participating in community and mission. He's not able to be sent out because he was nowhere to be found. For us, isolation or absence from community keeps our fear going and uncertainty going. Like, many of us struggle with doubt, with our faith, and with showing up. So notice what happens next. Then 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being locked, and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. We don't know why it took 8 days for Thomas to be present. Maybe it was because of his fear. Maybe it was because of his doubt. Maybe because he was grieving. John doesn't tell us. But the gap shows that absence is normal. And sometimes for us, it's really slow to resolve. We're dealing with something that we're really not sure other people understand, so we sort of kind of go off by ourselves. And did you notice that Jesus repeats the same thing that he did 8 days earlier? And maybe the disciples needed it again. Maybe it was afresh and necessary. The doors were still locked. The fear kept lingering. One of the things I love about this is that Jesus doesn't scold Thomas for his absence. He's like, man, where were you? You missed out. No, he shows back up and says, all right, Thomas, this is what you said. You said you wouldn't believe until you saw. Here I am. And what I love about this is our doubt or our hesitation doesn't disqualify us from community. Thomas shows us that even when we're absent, Jesus meets us when we come back. Community can be the place where Jesus meets us in our uncertainty. Something that recovery groups and addiction groups and support groups model really well. That Jesus doesn't shame absence. He invites engagement gently and graciously. So Thomas, in response, when he sees Jesus, answered him, my Lord and my God. Like, think about a time when you believe someone's story after seeing it in action. You heard the story from your coach, from your family member, from your grandparent, from your teacher, but you're like, I don't believe it until I can see it. Thomas's faith came alive when he experienced Jesus. See, in a similar way, being around other followers of Jesus, hearing their stories, and seeing people live with integrity, courage, and care can actually help us process our own questions, our own doubts, and actually deepen our faith. Because Jesus didn't show up to him when he was by himself grieving and with doubt and fear. Jesus showed up when he came back into the group, into the community. Without a doubt, private faith matters, but it wasn't meant to stay private. Thomas had his doubts. He stayed away and he missed something important. Community is the space where our faith grows best, where doubts are wrestled with, and where we're sent out to make a difference. The reason why it grows best is because it's developed there. Sure, we're hearing things from God. We're centering, we're being filled in our personal time with him. But there's a lot of things we practice in community that makes our faith stronger. Whether we've been part of a church for years or we're just curious, I believe the rhythm is the same. It's personal preparation plus community participation equals a faith that grows and moves. So Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here's the good news, that you and I don't have to see everything to believe. Doubt doesn't disqualify us. But faith wasn't meant to be done alone. It wasn't meant to be a solo thing. Community, being present with others, learning from them, and wrestling with questions together actually helps us grow in our faith. And whether we're questioning, or maybe we're certain about a few things, or maybe we're somewhere in between, showing up with others, man, allows our faith to grow. And Thomas wasn't the only one who doubted. He was just honest enough to admit it. And did you notice about the story? Thomas wasn't the only one who doubted. He was just the one honest enough to admit it. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm going to say tongue in cheek. Jesus doesn't shame him for missing church. He meets him in his doubt through community. He shows up where Thomas finally showed up. See, Jesus meets us where we are, but he rarely leaves us there. He calls us out of isolation and into a community that helps shape our faith. And faith grows best in the soul of relationships. And the more isolated you and I are, the less oxygen our soul gets. And look, we might think that solo is the thing to go, is the way to go. It's you and your questions, you and your struggles, you and your doubts. But Jesus' story with Thomas shows us that faith isn't found in isolation. It's discovered in community. And when Thomas finally comes back to the group, that's when he saw Jesus. And maybe for you, the next step isn't having all your questions answered. It's just showing up again. It's sitting with people who believe when you're not sure you can. Maybe Jesus wants to meet you not in a moment of certainty, but in a circle of people who won't give up on you. You and I, we can't be intentional about community if we're just casually showing up. Thomas missed Jesus the first time because he missed them. Because he missed group. He missed community. And sometimes the miracle you've been praying for is waiting on the other side of community. It's waiting on the other side of that text. Waiting on the other side of that coffee. Waiting on the other side of that conversation that you haven't made time for. Jesus breathed peace and sent his people out. If you receive that peace, who's waiting for you to bring it to them? See, this means being part of our church is an event that we attend. It's a people that we belong to. We gather so we can scatter. We show up not just to get something, but to be someone for someone else. Like when we're intentional about community, we create space for people like Thomas who doubt, who drift, who aren't sure if they belong to meet Jesus again. And maybe you're not sure you believe what we believe yet. And that's okay. You're still invited to belong before you believe. You don't have to have it all figured out to sit with us, ask hard questions, or even disagree. That's what intentional community looks like, because Jesus didn't build a club for the convinced. He's building a home for the honest. An intentional community isn't built by perfect people. It's built by present people. People who show up and keep showing up. Because when they do, Jesus keeps showing up too. So a couple of things I want us to think about. One, what am I allowing to keep me from community? Is it fear? Is it busyness? Is it pride, past hurt, or comfort? Who might be waiting for an invitation to sit with me, serve with me, or simply be seen? And then how can I bring peace into my circle this week? A word, a text, a visit, a prayer. I'd love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so much that John wrote the story. Thank you for allowing us to read about it. And Father, I've been like Thomas before, where I've sort of isolated myself because I just didn't want to deal with it. Maybe it was a person, or maybe it was a situation. And I missed out. I missed out practicing what you're developing in me. That sure, it's great that I get filled by being with you in the morning, but you're expecting that to take action in the situations and in the circumstances and the problems I find myself in. And so, Father, today I ask that maybe for those who are yet convinced about Jesus' death and resurrection, that you would soften their heart and see, just like you did with Thomas, that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. He secures our forgiveness, he secures our future, and he gives us the power to live each and every day, that he provides us a peace that the world cannot offer us. And so, Father, I ask that they would accept that and receive that. Father, for those of us who have been followers for any length of time, I ask that you would allow us to have the courage to keep showing up. Because that is the thing that really deepens and grows our faith. So, Father, I ask that you would allow us to be a church that believes and values intentional community. In Jesus' name, amen.